In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's reading for our consideration is the Gospel, which I've already read from St. Luke, with particular focus on these words of Jesus. Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Today's gospel reading begins with that beautiful declaration from our Lord Jesus. In the context of what we heard from Luke chapter 10, Jesus is immediately, first and foremost, speaking to his disciples. Jesus had just sent out 72 of them to preach the gospel with accompanying signs, like healing the sick and casting out demons in Christ's name. Upon their return, these 72 excitedly reported to Jesus that the demons were subject to him in his name. Jesus, seeing their excitement, pointed out the even greater reality, that not were the demons only subject to them in Jesus' name, but their names were written in heaven. And that was the greater reason for rejoicing. Their joy brought joy to Jesus, who thanked the Father in the Holy Spirit for revealing the good news of salvation to the simple, to children, Jesus says, for to such belong the kingdom of God. He says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." It is not that we must go to God, but the Father reveals himself to us through the Son, through the work of the Holy Spirit in the Word. In this way, we are brought in the Holy Spirit through the Son back to the Father. This is our cause and of joy as Christians and our hope for the future. Our salvation is secure because it is found in Christ, who has been revealed to us by the Father's will in the Word that we have heard. It is this fact that causes Jesus to tell the disciples that is something that is truly important. Our sinful nature too often dulls our joy in the gospel. We may find ourselves thinking, I've heard this story before. We know all of these stories. What more can we possibly learn? My sins have already been forgiven. Why do I need even more forgiveness of sins? Well, Jesus answers, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And so first and foremost, Jesus is saying, look, what you are seeing and hearing, no one else has heard this before, even though they long to see it, and you are seeing it with your physical eyes. St. John, who was one of those who heard this declaration from Jesus, says this in his first epistle: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." St. John, if you did not pick up on his theme there, was marveling at how he saw and touched Jesus, how he heard his word, the word of life, whom the Father had made manifest to them, which is what Jesus said in our gospel passage just a moment ago. St. John writes what he, as an eyewitness, saw, that we may hear, and that our joy, along with his joy, may be complete in Christ. So what can we learn from these eyewitnesses? Well, first we see that Christ turns away from each soul that does not wish to hear him, just as he turned away from the Pharisees and all who did not wish to hear him in the Gospels. Jesus knocks at each soul through his word, as he himself says in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." This is the door of our hearts at which Christ knocks. Whenever we think of Christ and his word and ponder it, he desires to enter into our hearts, to commune with us, to eat with us. But if we suppress that invitation, he will pass us by. Each of these moments is a spiritual ember that is kindled by the Holy Spirit's heavenly fire. We must not, as Christians, extinguish this fire, but we must preserve it so that it will ignite into the fire of love for our Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of the Old Testament, God commanded that the priests were to preserve the fire that fell upon the holy sacrifices, that fire would not go out. That was their daily job. In the same way, we also should preserve the fire in the temple of our hearts that the Lord has placed there. Whenever the Lord instills in you a righteous thought, be it by the preached word or through receiving his body and blood in the sacrament, he is building on the foundation of everlasting life that is in him. But by the same token, we must also be careful with which fires we preserve and which ones we put out. Just as a fire in a hearth is good for warmth and light, so is the word of God for our bodies and souls. But a fire that is where it should not be is dangerous. If a fire starts in a bedroom or kitchen, you have a bit of a problem. We should carefully guard which Christian media we consume. For false teaching that directs us away from the Lord's word and the forgiveness of sins that he has won for us and gives to us in holy baptism, in the absolution, in the Lord's Supper, those things are a fire that will destroy everything that they touch. So our salvation consists in what we see and hear in Christ, as St. John has illustrated for us this morning. We must look to Christ, and we must look to Christ alone for our salvation and the assurance thereof. Even though we do not see Christ with our physical eyes like St. John or any of the other apostles, we have a blessing from Christ that he spoke on the evening of his resurrection. He said to St. Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We hear this reading every year on the Sunday after Easter, and that is talking about us. We are blessed even though we have not seen in the same way the disciples did. So where do we go to see this Christ? Well, first and foremost, it takes place in his church. This is where he has promised to be with his grace and mercy. Psalm 84 says, "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord," the courts being the temple courts. "My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises." I want you to consider how the liturgy of the Lord's Supper will go this morning. You ought to know it by now. After the bread and wine are consecrated with Jesus' own words, "This is my body, this is my blood," the pastor turns and he faces the congregation holding the body and blood of Jesus for all to see. And what does he say? He says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." That is a ceremony that teaches us that Jesus is our peace. And where he is for us in the bread and wine, he is there to give us that peace. And we see that bread and wine, the very body and blood of Jesus, the Jesus who is our salvation. And after that, after the Lord's Supper, we sing the Nunc Dimittis, which is Simeon's song that he sang when he saw the Christ child in Luke chapter 2. In that beloved hymn, we sing these words: Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Our eyes have seen the Lord's salvation by beholding the flesh and blood Christ in his supper. Then think of how we will end the liturgy today with the benediction that God gave to Aaron. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is how God commanded Aaron and Moses to bless the people of God in the Old Testament. The blessing is that God's face is towards us and looks upon us with his smile. That is what God's grace is. It is his smile on us for the sake of Jesus. Hearing Christ takes place through his word. Jesus says of the apostles in Luke 10, 16, he who hears you hears me. This means that when we hear the word read and preached, we are hearing the very voice of Jesus himself. This, by the way, is why we surround the reading of the Holy Gospel with singing and why we stand to hear it. Like Simeon, who we've already mentioned this morning, when your soul has found this salvation, it can depart in peace. Many would say that we should listen for the voice of Jesus in quiet moments of meditation or in signs, both good and bad, found in the world around us. But Jesus has promised only to speak to us through his word. So our desire to see and hear Christ ought to then be greater than that of kings and prophets who have gone before us. These men longed for Christ in a way that we do not have to long for him. Instead, we ought to long for Christ in a way that works in us a greater love for him. This is at its heart what it is to be a Christian. Whoever is a Christian loves Christ. It is impossible to be a Christian without loving our Lord Jesus. Whoever loves Christ also then has a longing to see and to hear him. And this longing, like kings and prophets before us, is directed at Christ's coming at the end of all things. This is why our longing can and must be greater than theirs. Christ has already come and revealed God's love for us in his death on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins that we deserve. And he comes to us even now through his word and sacraments. But we who have seen and beheld this Christ in these means of grace now look for his final return. On that day, we shall see our Lord Jesus Christ not in humility, but crowned in honor and glory. And on that day, it will be a vision undiluted by sin and death. For as St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, Christ will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. This means that our bodies will be raised without corruption, and we will have no more sin and no more death to deal with, and we will never die again. How happy was Jacob when he heard that his son Joseph had become a great lord in Egypt? That was the Sunday school lesson today, right? Yeah, there you are. I thought so. He said in Genesis, I will go and see my son before I die. He did not let his age or the distance of the journey stand in his way, and he went with haste to see his son that he so longed to see. In the same way, our Lord Jesus Christ has been exalted to an even greater lordship over all of heaven and all of earth. We should not let anything stand in our way of seeing him, not our age, not our concerns about worldly things, and not even death. Therefore, dear friends in Christ, let us examine ourselves. Are there things that prevent you from seeing and hearing Christ? Repent of these things and turn away from them. Dear brothers and sisters, if we see and hear Christ, we need not be afraid. Not even death can turn us away from him. St. Paul says in Philippians 1 that he was looking forward to death. Why? He was looking forward to being with Christ. And so this too is our desire as Christians. We who have seen and heard Christ in this place shall see him in glory on the last day. In Jesus' name. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.